Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back. We have accomplished more in 43 days than most administrations accomplished in 4 years or 8 years, and we are just getting started. So, Democrats sitting before me, for just this one night, why not join us in celebrating so many incredible wins for America? For the good of our nation, let's work together and let's truly make America great again.
And that's all that happened yesterday. There you go. That's the whole speech. Summarized in my 1 minute montage. Yeah, that's right. I reduced it to 1% of its original scope and scale. An hour and 40 minutes. Uncle. No, John, okay, now you what's your normal bedtime, John?
Oh, like by 7.
By 7. What time did you go to bed last night?
It was almost 11.
Yeah, look at that. Wow. Wait,
and then
what
the
a
storms.
Trooper.
And then the storms came in, right. And I'm like, oh, when do I get to sleep?
Okay, so before we get into the Trump speech, after you stayed up, I mean, because he didn't actually start until about, what, 8:20, 8:30, mm-hmm. Something like that?
Yes, it took forever.
So you got done just watching the speech after 10.
Right.
Right? 10, something like that. I wasn't really paying, because I don't watch these things live. I watch them a little bit later. It actually bit me this time, and I'll tell you why. I had recorded it on WKRG, actually. I had recorded on WKRG for no reason particular other than I like CBS News. And they were doing all weather guy stuff. So I had to go back to the YouTube and like... And I usually, you know what I usually do is I usually run 2 or 3 recordings on the major channels,
right,
like this network, and I just didn't for whatever reason. And there I had that spider sense. I'm like, I don't know if this is a good plan. But anyway, so then I sit down, I'm like, I don't need to watch Weather Guy with the tornado alerts. I'm not saying they shouldn't run them in their area, but I was surprised that they did that instead of the president speaking, because you could find a way to do the weather warning stuff and let the president talk also. You could just do the visual. I don't have to hear the weather guy. Anyway, so kind of a weird choice. So I switched over to our news partner, WEAR, ABC3. All right, at least they're listening to the president, you know, like most of America. Anyway, so I was surprised by that. And, you know, you go 100 minutes, so you're at, like, plus 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Did you then stay up to watch the Democratic response?
I did not.
You missed
I flipped
little.
It.
You missed little. I wasn't gonna at all. Because
right.
By the time the speech got over, and then I got to go back and cut all the audio clips, it was about 11:30 when I got done cutting all the audio from it, something like that, 11:45. And I had just a little bit of extra time because my wife was working on something. We always sit down and watch TV before I pass out at night. And a normal bedtime for me is 11:45. Last night I went to bed at, I think, 1.
You're up this early?
Yeah.
I can't do that, man. I got to have, like, continuous sleep.
You know, your body adjusts. No big deal. I'll sleep when I'm dead. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
I watched the Democratic response, or at least I watched 70. I wasn't going to watch it all. I'm like, I don't even care. The speech was so good. And this is coming from, it cracks me up. Every time I say Trump this, Trump that, whatever, you know, you're a damn liberal. You're such a fascist. Oh, my God.
Yes, you do.
I voted for that. Trump. I generally support a lot of what he does. He drives me absolutely crazy. And I think he's both very, very smart and an idiot. I mean, that, like, what do you want me to say? The things that he does that are right, great. The things that he does that are terrible, not great. And I will call both. And, you know, all you do is rag on Trump. All you do is snuggle up to Trump's butt. I mean, come on, stop it. Stop it. So when I said, I went, my comment on social media, I didn't say much else, but on social media, I just said, honestly, probably the best State of the Union or joint address I've ever watched. And I think it was. And listen, my wife is even less of a Trump supporter than I am. And she was like, yeah, that was really great. Because it had it all. It had drama. It had giveaways. Somebody went to the, you know, the Marine Academy, and, you know, somebody else got to be a deputized Secret Service agent. And,
oh, I know. That was so cool.
You know, and, you know, and they threw out Congressman Holds a Cane in the Air. You know, I mean, they, you know, it had it all. It had everything you could ask for. It had cheers and jeers. It had personal insults and barbs and stoic Supreme Court justices and too many Joint Chiefs of Staff. I mean, it was great. Like, it was the whole package. It was pure entertainment. It was an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes of, holy crap, Batman, here we are. So, yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And, you know, again, and somebody said, wow, that's where you stand. Like, on this one thing, yes. Does that mean that I liked every bit of it? No, the man can't blame Biden for the chicken prices. Come on, that's stupid. I mean, that happened since, or mostly since, and it's gotten worse, because if you fire the people that are overseeing the problem, and no, and the Gulf of America is always going to be stupid, no matter how many times he says it. That's always going to be the most imbecilic thing ever. But a lot of the other stuff is really, really good. And what I appreciated about it was the kind of the overall reminder of all the things. Because that's part of the problem with when you do so much in your first 6 weeks, you kind of pick which things stand out to you as I love, I hate, right? And, we've never seen a presidency like this. And I don't know what it's going to do in a year. I don't know what the result of all of this massive disruption is going to be in 2 years or 3 years or 20 years. But I'm curious. You know, some of the things that he's talking about, I'm enthusiastically behind. You know, they'd make perfect sense to me.
And importantly, we ended the last administration's insane electric vehicle mandate, saving our auto workers and companies from economic destruction.
By the way, I just robbed you of all your union votes. You know, some things are, of course, like, almost how do people oppose this?
I signed an order making it the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Yeah. And even the, like, the reciprocal trade war stuff, all we're going to do with India and the rest of the world is whatever they do to us. Duh. That's just making the playing field even, right? That seems like obvious stuff. And then, of course, all of the, like, ridiculous, irrelevant Social Security ages, you know, which is true, but false. Because
I thought it was funny.
It was. That's the point.
There's somebody older than our country.
It was a funny falsehood. That's exactly right. It was a hilarious moment.
To finish, 1,039 people between the ages of 220 and 229, one person between the age of 240 and 249, and one person is listed at 360 years of age, more than 100 years.
Oh, did somebody say it? I didn't hear it the first time around. Because my wife, actually, who was sitting at her, we have one of these, like, big dining room / living rooms, and she was at the table where she works, and I was watching on TV 30 feet away. And she actually, here, let me play the clip out, because I didn't hear it the first time.
More than 100 years, more than 100 years older than our country.
Her comment was, oh, he missed the joke. And he just left the White House. Would have been the sickest burn.
That would have been the burn.
but somebody yelled it. Joe Biden. Somebody yelled it. So, okay. And then, you know, to make a little bit before that, when he's talking about the Social Security ages.
We have a healthier country than I thought, Bobby.
Okay. So this story is false. Like, it's a fake news story. I mean, and by the way, he didn't say anything that was fake. That's what's funny about this. The story that we have all these millions of people receiving Social Security until they're 300 years old, that's not true. We do have on the Social Security rolls people that are that age, but they're not getting checks, or at least very few of them are getting checks. And yeah, none of them should be getting checks, but the point is that to clean up the role is actually more expensive than the fraud that might be committed by even the few that are receiving the checks. But he tells this, and he said he didn't say they were all receiving checks. He said some of whom. And I watched the news last night and this morning, and the same thing. Oh, President Trump lies again. Well, the story itself is very misleading. But the story tells the truth. It tells a truth about government waste and inefficiency, which makes it a great story, even if it's not factual. And it's very entertaining. And it captures the sense of the zeitgeist of the Trump support base and many people who don't support Trump, but still, like even a John Stewart, who, you know, I really hate all this government waste. I just wish you did it smarter, right? That kind of thing. Like that story, even though it's got so, it's false or largely false, it still tells something that people care about that gives them a perspective on all of government waste. You know, when he's going through the list of the ways that DOGE has caught misuse of money. I mean, you know, they're talking about teeny tiny numbers for most of this stuff. It doesn't support the, well, we've found hundreds of billions of that. No, you have not. Shh. Okay. But the some examples are so ridiculous that it doesn't matter. And that's what this was. This was a, hey, we're doing smart stuff. We're getting rid of dumb things. You know, tariffs, you're going to have to give us a minute, but here's why we're doing it. The border, way down in crossings, that seems to be true. I know you can't really trust the Trump administration to tell you accurate facts, so you have to go look elsewhere, but it seems to be correct that we are way down on border crossings. And then he ends the speech with more surprises. Yeah, we're going to take Panama Canal. We're going to get them to give us Greenland. We're going to, you know. Oh, and by the way, we got the mastermind from the Abbey Gate attack. He's in custody now or dead or who we're torturing him. I mean, whatever. You know, and the Mexico sent 29 leaders of cartels to us in an extradition process that was expedited that nobody knew about until he announced it. Yeah, all true. Turns out all true. So was it a perfect, you know, actually, about three quarters of the way through, my wife said, has he messed up? Like, has he stumbled? I mean, just the presentation as contrast with Joe Biden was stark, right? But even earlier in the day, Governor DeSantis gave his State of the State address. And all I can say is, Governor DeSantis was, he was not drunk. He was not exhausted. He was not sick. He stumbled over a lot of words, which is pretty uncharacteristic for him. It was weird. And I didn't fixate on it. I didn't grab a lot of those clips because I just thought, I don't know that it matters. But it was odd how many times he said. And there were a couple of times where Trump stumbled reading a teleprompter and then he kind of backfilled, ad-libbed it so it sounded correct. But, it was a just about flawless delivery. And Mike Johnson, for his part, delivered his lines the best. Al Green, out. Okay, one last thing. And, I mean, we'll talk about this more later. I'm curious. If you got reaction, 437-1620, if you want to comment on all this. Democrats not only haven't learned from the election, they are leaning in the direction of the skid. They have made themselves, I mean, this is at the, you know, at the national level, Congress Democrats have made themselves the straw man argument. They have made themselves the ridiculous hyperbole, the caricature of themselves. We're going to show up with little black placards.
It looked like somebody took a paper plate.
Or a ping pong paddle. Yes. You know, through Doge sucks, Elon Zamini, false. or we're going to all wear pink to support women. After we all voted to not protect women from men in sports. And Al Green's our man. Nobody knows what he's mumbling. Some of us are going to walk out during this. You have said for years how we want civility and decorum, and now you're going to betray it. And I have consistently said Marjorie Taylor Greene shouldn't be shouting at the president. Joe Wilson shouldn't be shouting at the president. Nobody should be yelling back during the State of the Union. Bad for you. But this was like over and above. And just, children, come now. Surely, A, aren't you more mature than this? And B, aren't you smarter than this? There's no Democrat. If there is, text me and tell me I'm wrong. There's no Democrat who watched this last night and didn't have utter despair about the next 4 years and thereafter, because their party, like, this is the best you can do. Oh, my God. We are screwed. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Just reminded me, that's exactly why I hate working with you. It's your voice. It's your nasally, prepubescent Harry Potter voice.
Good morning, 527 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, important, additional note on the State of the Union address. When the Democrats are hurting themselves more than anything and don't even seem to realize it, the worst thing they did last night was not the Al Green old man cane wave. It was not the protest ping pong paddles. The ping pong paddles. Bring forth the ping pong paddles of protest. It was not wearing shirts that had words on them that when you walked out would show to the president how much you disapproved of him, or walking out itself. It was the sitting and not applauding for a kid who seems to have beaten cancer, or a mom or a wife whose cop husband got killed. Or, God, what were some of the other examples? That, you know, kid getting his Marine commission. You know, like, the things that were just, every human being stands up for these things. Lakin Riley's family. The girl who got brain injury because she played against a transgender volleyball player and got spiked in the head with the ball so hard. I'm like, you don't stand up for these things? Whew. Man, that is commitment to coldness right there. And it put you in a certain light. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump says he's working to end the war in Ukraine. Of course, last night during the address to the joint session of Congress, he said millions of Ukrainians and Russians have been needlessly killed in the conflict. But he did say Ukraine is now ready to come to the table.
Earlier today, I received an important letter from President Zelensky of Ukraine. The letter reads, Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible.
So we'll see what comes out of that here in the next day or so.
No, okay, question for the room. Actual letter written by Zelensky or completely fake letter written by Trump to read as if Zelensky sent it?
Nah, it's got to be a real letter.
What makes you say that?
I knew you would do that. That's why I didn't say a word.
I felt... I fell for the trap. You know what I'm going to do when I get out of here? I'm going to go to Lowe's. I'm going to get a little paint stick. I'm going to put a paper plate on it, and I'm going to have my own sign that says false to hold up in my window. No, I just think after everything that happened, because there was talk about impeachment proceedings in Ukraine and all sorts of things, I think he was seeing a lot of pressure on his end.
Let me give you my theory, okay? He didn't – I don't know. But
I mean, it could have been a form letter. I doubt he wrote
it
himself.
No. Could it have been that he didn't write any letter at all, but this is Trump writing the letter he wants Zelensky to have written, and there's no way Zelensky can come out and say he didn't write it now.
You're right.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he has any reason for that.
Oh, no, it totally accomplishes his purposes. It humiliates Zelensky while also allowing him back in the negotiations. It facilitates the peace process. It puts in Zelensky's mouth the words he should have said or that Trump wants him to say. He's given his, it's a classic Dale Carnegie. I'm giving my opponent something to live up to, a good thing to live up to.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump, in a nearly 100-minute address to Congress, talks mostly about what he's done so far this term.
Illegal border crossings last month were by far the lowest ever recorded, ever.
Since at least 2000, when monthly records started being kept, the president announces the capture of a terrorist who helped plan the Kabul, Afghanistan airport bombing in 2021 and says the U.S. will take control of Greenland for national and international security.
I think we're going to get it. One way or the other, we're going to get it.
Michigan House Democrat Alyssa Slotkin with her party's official response.
Do his plans actually help Americans get ahead? Not even close.
Several Democrats walked out of the president's speech. One, Texas Congressman Al Green, was escorted out for refusing to sit and stop interrupting. President Trump says there's nothing he can do to make Democrats happy. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 58 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Fire crews are assessing damage after a possible tornado touchdown in Santa Rosa County overnight. Midway Fire District says they got several calls about a quarter after 11 last night about a touchdown, a possible tornado touchdown on the 1700 block of Village Parkway. Now, officials did investigate. They said there were trees down and storm damage in the area, but so far it didn't appear that there had been any severe damage to homes in that area. There were two trailers blown over. Nobody was inside either of those. Right now, there's no word on any injuries in that area either. Escambia County investigators looking into a reported home invasion on Young Street. The sheriff's office says that was reported on Monday night. Deputies responded so quickly they caught one suspect fleeing the scene.
We're still investigating it. It's very, very, very rare that we have just a random home invasion at one particular location. So we're looking into exactly why they picked that location and the details surrounding it.
Simmons says Christopher Albritton was arrested and faces home invasion, grand theft, and weapon possession charges. He remains in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. Investigators still looking for one suspect. Well, Milton's got a new police chief starting this April. They hired Jennifer Frank to take over the department after Chief Tony Tyndall retires. She'll be the first female police chief in Northwest Florida. The city says they didn't intend to make history, though.
We got the best candidate for this job. She just happens to be a female.
City manager Ed Spears, he tells News Radio Frank has family in Florida, was raised as a Southern girl, and has a doctorate in education. She starts April 21st. Chief Tyndall has agreed to stay on the job until then. A 73-year-old man has died after a two-vehicle crash at the intersection of Barrancas and Nimitz near the Pensacola Country Club. FHP says that a Dodge truck was traveling westbound on Barrancas when the El Camino pulled out directly in front of that Dodge truck. The truck driver attempted to avoid the collision. Troopers say the truck was being driven by a Pensacola man who was life-flighted to Baptist Hospital with injuries. The El Camino was driven by a 73-year-old man who died at the scene of that crash. It is 5:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We will see a nice sunny day today with temperatures near 68 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 46. On Thursday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 62. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Keeping some clouds around on Friday with a high near 67. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got 58 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 57 reported in Milton. Your next news is at 6 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Uber will shift into a new gear in Austin, Texas, when its ride-hailing service will begin dispatching self-driving cars to pick up passengers. The autonomous option is being provided through a partnership between Uber and Waymo, which already sells self-driving vehicle rides through its own app in Phoenix, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. President Trump's 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico and an additional 10% on China are officially in place. Canada and China have since announced retaliatory tariffs, while Mexico said its response will come on Sunday. Starbucks has named a new chief financial officer as part of a larger turnaround strategy. Kathy Smith, who has been Nordstrom's CFO since 2023, will join Starbucks next month. Smith previously served as the chief financial officer for Target and Walmart International. Futures are moderately higher after Commerce Secretary Lutnick suggests possible compromise on President Trump's tariffs. That's Your Money Now.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top. Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, along with Five Sisters renovations, The World is Your Oyster at Atlas Oyster House, and Toast to the Coast on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
What do you want in a job? What if this job had great benefits and uncapped income? What if this job was right here in town, working for award-winning radio stations? What if this job had an opening right now as a marketing consultant working with local businesses? What if this job, you occasionally get to listen to one of country music's rising stars or meet a famous TV star or athlete in the office? If you're looking for a job like this and have sales experience, then hurry up and send your resume to hr@newsradio1620.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, as we typically do on a Tuesday, had a good chance to talk with our friend Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are y'all?
Good. I'm doing good. How did Mardi Gras go, especially out on the beach? You know, the city's taking care of their stuff, although you help. How did the beach parade go on Sunday?
Well, I think all three parades went very well. Friday night, weather was perfect, a little bit cool. Saturday was picture perfect, and Sunday was very good as well. I think that our parade's kind of less than a mile long. We spent months preparing for this and had many meetings about security, and it went off without a hitch.
Good, excellent.
During the parade, there was zero arrests.
Okay, I'll take that. And it's a short parade, but that's about as far as the parade participants can probably make it.
Well, you know, if you go slow, it's longer. It depends on your speed and how short the parade is, and if whether you're walking or whether you're riding in one of the floats.
You did have an incident on Young Street overnight, a robbery, home invasion, something?
That's how it was reported, yeah. I just got word that...
he's got his skeptical reporting.
1200 West Young Street, we had a report that a couple guys home invaded them. Our deputies got there really quickly, so quickly, in fact, that we saw two males running from the area wearing the clothes that was consistent with what was reported. We were able to catch one of them, one we're still looking for, but we did catch and arrest Christopher Albritton Sr. and charged accordingly with all those charges that I just mentioned. So we're still investigating it. It's very, very, very rare that we have just a random home invasion at one particular location. So we're looking into exactly why they picked that location and the details surrounding it.
All right. So, reading between the lines, there are often more bits of evidence, reasons, relationships, activity.
Well, and if there's reasons, it doesn't mean you can
kick. You can't still go in and home invade and rob. So yeah, right.
We certainly arrest people for that sort of thing.
Let's see. We've got, we didn't really get a chance to talk about this much, but the Dream Big Academy, you had just 2 weeks ago, I think, something like that. What is this? This is not one I'm as familiar with.
Well, we have the Blazer Academy for 13 to 15-year-olds, and we wanted something that we can, reach down a little bit to some younger kids.
Okay.
Some who may dream of being a law enforcement officer, who may dream of being in public service.
Yeah.
So we decided to do this Dream Big program, and it's for kids that are boys and girls, obviously, from 5 to 11 years old. We try to hit the elementary school ages, and it's
For at-risk youth or for everybody?
No, anyone.
Okay,
anyone.
Right.
We don't necessarily cater just to at-risk youth because you never know who's at risk. But in this case, we wanted to open it up to kids and give them a little peek into what law enforcement is like, but also take that opportunity to be a little bit of a mentor for them. This filled up within 2 hours, and we had about 80, 85 kids that showed up there. Again, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way through 11. And it gave operate as if it's a training academy, mini training academy.
Oh, all right.
It takes about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. But it is, we go through different things. They go through a canine portion of their training, where basically they pet the dog and watch the dog obey. And then we have a vehicle portion of it where they sit in the car, run the lights and sirens, and they check out the cars and the motorcycles and our Bearcat and the Rook and stuff like that. We have a crime scene portion of the academy. We have an agility portion, a physical fitness portion of it that we set up with a little bit of an obstacle course in it. And then we have a core value section, which they probably is the most boring, but that's what I do. I talk about our core values, courtesy, integrity, professionalism, what that really means and what we need from our law enforcement officers. And it's very well received. It's about as popular as you can get. We're going to have one more later on this summer, and we'll probably end up putting it out well in advance because people – what happens is it fills up, and then we get all these emails, not nasty, but emails like, I missed it. I wish I'd known.
Yeah.
And we're so full, we can only accommodate so many kids.
Free cake for 100, but 1,400 of them are angry they didn't get free cake.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. But we do give them a uniform. We call it a uniform, but it's a T-shirt with our patch and a little junior deputy ID card. So it's really pretty cool.
It seems like all of these different programs you do, what I categorize as what you used to call community policing, but kind of the community engagement, outreach, positive branding, education, all that. It's like everyone you come up with, it just sells out. You got the Citizens Law Enforcement Academy, or the Citizens Police Academy, the Civilian Firearms Training Course, the Dream Big Academy, the Blazer Academy. It's you should just do more. I mean, because everything you do, people want more of it.
Well, and obviously we're tweaking things to make it really good. We have Cars, Cops, and Crawfish coming up in on April the 12th, I believe it is. And we want to invite people to come up to that. It's at Five Flags Speedway. And this is another engagement opportunity that we have. Mm-hmm. And we mix the cops with obviously the cars, the car show, and then the crawfish. We got people from Cubs Crawfish that are selling crawfish there. Because we wanted to do something in the middle of the north end of the county because they usually get – I say neglected, but usually overlooked with regards to the parades and stuff like that. So we're going to have all that stuff. So to talk about the things that we do, we're very proud of the engagement opportunities that we have, and we want to make sure that we provide the best for our community because they deserve it.
One more before we get into kind of a different thing that I wanted to talk with you about. But civilian firearms training course, we kind of mentioned that. And you did it, what, last Saturday was the first incident of this? Is that the first time you've done this?
It's actually the second time.
Okay. We've done it before. What is this? How many people are involved?
Well, our training division puts it on. We have a grant. The state offered a grant for to putting on this type of things whenever they allowed concealed carry.
Okay.
When we went to constitutional carry, they also allowed for funding for some training courses. So if anyone wanted to carry, but they weren't sure if they knew enough about firearms, they want to make sure that they're on top of their game before they do so. This is our way of giving them a little some pointers on, you know, safe ways to carry.
Okay.
The various types of holsters that you can do.
And pragmatic.
This is basic
kind of a how-to and gun safety, and you know, don't just stick it in your, you know, jogging shorts. You know, not
there's
a great
plan.
There's
some drawing practice and some practical stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, that says you can't have it hidden under, you know, 14 layers of clothes and expect it to help you, but you can't have it outside or just flimsy on your gym shorts. You can't be doing that kind of stuff.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's good stuff that people never much think about, and you know, hearing it from the professionals, that's fantastic. I did want to ask you. I had a chance to go on a narcotics warrant service, so I got a chance to see kind of inner workings of the unit and the guys who do it, and you know, great folks. I mean, and one of the things that was kind of a theme the lieutenant kept saying was the way it used to be. Like back in the Chip Simmons Street Patrol days, even though you
were
that
how they aged.
That's
things?
Not how they said it. It was the but you know that back in the day it was kind of like, all right, let's go get this house, and we get five guys together and we jump in a van and a cruiser and we go knock a door and go in.
Yes,
it is not how it is done today. It is much more organized, systemic, planned out paramilitary, really a military style. In terms of briefing and surveillance and who's got which door, who's got which corner, what's the order of entry, and the announcement, you know, while it's happening to the whole neighborhood over the loudspeaker, we're serving a warrant here, it's okay, but also to the people inside that there can be no doubt that they were announced. I mean, that's a significant change in protocol, in my opinion, over the years.
Well, and again, that is correct, and I'll get into that in a second, but I think that there are levels of, you know, how many people we use. It depends upon our assessment of the threat level and that sort of thing in the house or apartment or trailer or whatever it's going to be. The location obviously makes a difference. The purpose makes a big difference. You know, if there's still stolen weapons or automatic weapons in there, we're going to do things a little differently. I would say they you're right. They rag me out quite a bit. About because when I was in narcotics, we had about a 5 to 7, depends on the year, man team, and all we would call is for one marked cruiser car to be there because we're not in uniform, and we need someone to transport the bad guys once we catch them, and we jump out of the car and we with a warrant, with a search warrant, we will knock and announce, and then we would enter the house on our own with a pair of blue jeans on and a badge around our neck, much like
the appearance of the SWAT and or narcotics unit. There's overlap, but they're not the same thing. Is, you know, long hair and beards, and they wear balaclavas and hide their identity because you shouldn't know who these people are, right?
Yeah,
and they don't look like the cop doing extra duty at the Walmart.
Yeah, no, we well, everyone has their assignment,
yeah,
and their purpose, and they train so much. They the SWAT team trains so much with the narcotics unit. To make sure the narcotics unit can do things with them. You know, because the worst thing you want to do is if you and I have been training to do a search warrant and then we get bring a third party in here, he has no idea what we're doing. And that could be dangerous for all three of us. So we found this out. We used to do some search warrants with kind of a weird story, but we used to search warrants with NCIS or NIS back in the day. If
Navy.
There's a military member. Yeah, if it's a military member, we would go with them. And at one point, we had some members of that particular unit coming with us. And as they get out, they draw their gun, and their entire holster comes out in their hand. And we're running, and they try to put it on, and they trip over it. It was just
stop
a mess.
It.
It was pretty bad. So we decided, you know what? It's important if we train together. Let's train together so we can help them out. In their defense, they don't do search warrants.
Right,
they don't do that sort of thing. The place is secured, and then they walk in. So these are the types of things that we decided we're gonna up our game a little bit. We did this 30 years ago, 35 years ago, and we got really good at what we did. But let me also mention that our narcotics unit back in the day, all but one were on a SWAT team also. So we would just put our SWAT gear on and go and kick a door and without having to worry about the whole and the entire SWAT team. And even now, we decide what level of call out we have.
Sure.
Is it just an entry team that we need? Do we need both teams? Do we need perimeter and entry? And as you mentioned, they're really good at what they do.
Very, very good. And you know, kind of the other side of this that I want to make sure to give attention to is, from what I saw, not just professional and organized and well-trained, and of course now you have that firearms training facility that I went through that you have all kinds of ability to train them on how to do this physically,
which door, which room.
I mean, it's, you know, there's an air conditioner there, there's a door there, there's a window there, this is a primer, that's our backup breach, like all that stuff. But the thing that I saw that it wasn't surprising to me, it just wasn't the thing I was thinking about, is, and I'm sure your critics are going to scoff at this, but your officers are so kind. I mean, they are genuinely, because you think of like SWAT and narcotics guys as being kind of these tough guys, you know, they try to look tough and that's perfectly appropriate. And but they were so eager to make sure that comfort, even for the bad guy, suspected bad guy, was maintained. You know, things like making sure they got water, they're sitting in the sun, making sure they're sitting comfortably, because sitting in handcuffs is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can put them in a chair, if we can put them in the shade, if we need to call EMS, you know, we'll get there, because if there's a health issue, we'll get them to take care of you. We think there might be a health issue, go ahead and call them preemptively to make sure, like, all of that, like the whole, not the camaraderie stuff, which wasn't surprising to me, not the sort of semi-military thinking, and I know a lot of those guys are probably former military, so that's not a surprise. But the courtesy part was like off the charts from what you might see on TV. You know, you have this picture of how these things go on TV, and you're roughing up people and doing. And I'm like, I don't know. Here, at least, it was not like that.
Well, we want to be courteous.
Unless it had to be.
We want to be
sure if it had to be, but
if they let us,
yeah.
You know, if you let us be courteous, you let us be we'll always be professional. But if you let us be courteous, we will do so. If you put your hands on us, then we're liable to punch you in the mouth. That's how we're trained to do what we can as professionally as we possibly can, as long as you'll let us. Mm-hmm. And so my plea is for bad guys, let us do our job.
And even down to the point of like the whole surveillance ahead of time is, you know, paying attention to, are there kids here? Are there dogs here? Are there pets here? Are there females here that are not involved? You know, like all of that kind of stuff. And so that when you get inside the door or the window or whatever, it's not a surprise or not as much a surprise, but you want to make sure to protect them too. I mean, always.
Well, and that's all part of the training. Whether you're doing a search warrant at whatever neighborhood you were in, or whether you're responding to NAS on a terrorist call.
Yeah.
The call itself dictates our response. And while we're always professional, I think professionalism means that you'll take care of business when business needs to be taken care of. And we have proven in the past, and we continue every day to prove that we're willing to do that. But it also means that you can be engaging with a Dream Big opportunity or a Blazer Academy or a Cars, Cops, and Crawfish. But again, never lose sight of the fact that we are a law enforcement agency, and we're here to keep our community safe, and we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that happens. And I'm just sitting here kind of smiling because I'm the way you described our the men and women on mm-hmm. that day. Just gives me a smile because we are that professional, mm-hmm. we are that effective, we are that well trained, and again, Skimby County deserves that, and they're getting it.
Yeah, no, it was very, like I said, it was very encouraging, and especially because the portrayal of your profession by TV and often news is often, well, post George Floyd and even before that, mm-hmm. I mean, really an outright lie, a slander. And so to see it in person, you know, somebody who watches a lot of TV and still knows a lot of cops, but still watches a lot of TV. And I'm thinking, you know, I wish every citizen could just see kind of this a little bit.
We try to put out a lot of body cameras and
yeah,
a lot of footage.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I mean, I know you can't persuade everybody. Okay. Yeah. But it is, you know, that courtesy part is not just a word on the door. I mean, that is genuine cultural
ingrained
goal.
In
yes,
our training
absolutely.
From the cadets to the training academy to the field training program to all of our specialized units, and I'll say it, no one does it better.
Well, Shiptones, I just want to give you credit and your folks credit because they were fantastic, and I appreciate them letting me have a little peek behind the scenes and, you know, to see what was going on. So thanks as always for what you do. Thanks for running a super professional organization, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Take care.
Absolutely. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, if you're working on a project or you're rebuilding something, remodeling, or you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your place. And, you know, one of the things, like, if you're in the construction business, okay, if you do, you know, commercial construction, well, they are a commercial construction supply business. And sometimes, use the word hardware, and I think sometimes it gives you the impression that they're mostly, like, hammers and nails and drywall. And, I mean, yeah, but, like, their real effort is to be the resource you need to solve whatever problem you've got or to help you build whatever you're trying to build. That's what they do, and that's what they've been doing for 173 years. You know, actually, 174, quick math. I know the date. I have to do the math every time we change a year. 174 years since 1871. So they are there to help you. They are there to – or, sorry, 1851, excuse me. They are there to help make sure that you get the thing done. And that even includes things like, okay, you got engineers or architects who give you some kind of a special thing that you have to do. A special order is what they call it. They do that all the time for folks. They get things, they procure things, they have things made that you need because of this design for specified products. They're not afraid of that. They live for it. You know, they're eager to do it. So they're there for personal service. They're to, you know, help you solve problems, give you advice when it comes to building things or solving it. Just like, it's a completely different kind of, and again, I say hardware store, but it's really commercial construction supply business. Pensacola Hardware, helping Pensacola build, rebuild, and remodel right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Sunbelt Basketball Championship Week in Pensacola at the Bay Center. Enjoy the Fan Fest, cheer teams, and top college games. See visitpensacola.com for the schedule and info. The Pensacola Little Theater's presentation of The Play That Goes Wrong begins Friday night and goes through next week. See PensacolaLittleTheater.com for dates, times, and tickets. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Do not ever call me at the source.
My heart's in overdrive, it's great to be alive. Who's John? She said, and smiled in her special face.
Good morning, 5:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, four Democrat mayors of sanctuary cities are scheduled to testify today before the House Oversight Committee. New York Mayor Eric Adams, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, Denver Mayor Mike Johnston, and Mayor Michelle Wu of Boston. They'll all speak at a hearing over immigration policy. Target CEO warning shoppers there may be price increases here in just the next few days due to tariffs on goods from Mexico. He did an interview with CNBC. Brian Cornell said Target relies heavily on Mexican produce during this time of year. He said the 25% tariff may force them to increase prices on fruits and vegetables. And SpaceX trying again today to launch the Starship rocket. An earlier test flight was canceled without a detailed explanation. If today's launch, though, goes as planned, it would be the first one since the rocket exploded in January.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. In other news, minor notes, Tim Walz, you remember him? the running mate for failed vice presidential candidate to become president. What was her name again? Not Hillary Clinton. What was the other one? Sorry. Kamala Harris, of course. Tim Walz says he's going to maybe run for president in 2028. Yes, please. Remember the guy who, when he would lie or get confused or just make stuff up and say it wrong, he'd say, well, you know, I just sometimes I let my emotions get the better of me. Okay, all right. Please, please. This is like run all the same stuff again. And again, please.